All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, right after church tonight, we're going to have our pie fellowship. So make sure you stick around for that. King's Messenger's class is in charge of this fellowship. And, so nice today, we probably could have gone outside, you know. But we can't plan on that in September, so we're going to be inside tonight. But boy, sure was hot today, for sure. I think one of the ladies told me it's supposed to change this weekend. Man, it was warm today. But anyway, that'll be tonight right after church, so stick around. And it's all the birthday pie for Dean you can eat, all right? That was funny, wasn't it? If you were in the second service this morning, that you know what I'm talking about. That was good. All right, let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody got it? All right, let's begin reading in verse 14. Verse 14. The Bible says, but the natural man, all right, the natural man. Would you take note of that, please? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right, look at chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. All right, let me put that in 2017. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. I speak to you as babies. Babies. You're just babes in Christ. Little babies, spiritual babies. All right, verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Now, you can't very well take a two-month-old baby and give that baby a porterhouse steak. All right? That just won't work. The baby has to have milk, not meat. And Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither are ye able now. For ye are yet, what's the next word?
Carnal.
Carnal. All right, now notice in verse 14 of chapter 2, you have a natural man. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, you have a spiritual man. And then you have, in verse 3, a carnal man. All right, so notice the differentiation between words. You have a natural man, a carnal man, a spiritual man. All right, so for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? All right, let's stop reading right there for now. Keep your Bible open. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, keeping happy in the church. Keeping happy in the church. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the blessings of the day. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, and for the health and the strength and the desire, as Brother Roy said a moment ago, to be in the house of God. And I just pray that you will bless us now. We're here. And Father, you said where two or three are gathered together, that you would be in our midst. And so we ask you, Father, to bless us tonight as you're in our midst. We just thank you for the Bible. May the Bible teach and instruct and guide us in the truth tonight, and give us understanding of what we're about to hear. May the Lord be honored in all that's said and done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I want you just to listen to me for a few minutes here. I'm going to kind of lay a little bit of a foundation here. Just dig a little footer and pour a little concrete in it so we got something to build on, all right? But I need your attention for a few minutes while I lay this foundation. There are three types of people in every church. There are three types of people in every church. I think you can see those three types right here in the verses that I read for you tonight. First of all, there is the natural man. There is the natural man. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about that the natural man has joined the church. I don't know. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But we screen the best we can to make sure that somebody is saved before we allow them to join the church. All right, but I dare say that somebody in 50 years has slipped through the cracks. Would you say? All right, so that's why I say there are three types of people in every church. I know for a fact that there are folks that do not know the Lord. They have confessed to me that they do not know the Lord. I have sat across from them and have taken the Bible and tried to convince them that they need to trust Christ as their Savior. And yet they're here regularly. They're here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, sometimes Sunday morning and Sunday night. They're here, and yet they're lost. And they know they're lost, and they have no desire to trust Christ as their Savior. You say, well, how in the world could anybody do that? I don't know, but there are folks that way. They come here regularly, and yet they're not saved. And they will tell you that they're not saved. You may not know that they're not saved, and they may not tell you if you ask them, but I have gone to them and asked them, do you know the Lord? No, I do not. Why? Well, I don't know. Well, would you like to know? No, I'm good. And they just leave it at that. And there are people who come to church here on a regular basis, and they are not saved. They are a natural man. They are an unsaved person. And we find that natural man in verse 14. And you say, well, I just don't understand that. Well, look at what Paul said about the natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Some of you, I've made this statement before. And you have come up to me after church and you have said, Pastor, I just cannot believe that there could be somebody who could come to this church and sit and listen to you preach and yet they're not saved. Well, why does that surprise you? Verse 14 says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You say, but Pastor, when you preach, it tears me up. That's because you're saved. You can receive the things of the Spirit of God, but an unsaved person cannot. All right, so you see the difference? And so the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them. And they do not know the Lord. Why? They're spiritually discerned. All right, now secondly, in every church, I think that there are carnal people. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I think that there are a lot of carnal babes in Christ in our churches. There are folks they're saved, they know the Lord as their personal Savior. Should you walk up to them and ask them, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? They'll say, oh yeah, I know that I'm going to heaven. And you say, okay, so you're saved? Yes, tell me when you were saved. And they can tell you when they trusted Christ as their Savior. But the simple truth of the matter is, they don't read their Bible. And they don't come to church faithfully and regularly. And they don't serve in any capacity. And in all probability, they don't tithe on a regular basis. They hang around with folks that aren't what they ought to be. And the end result is they're carnal. They're just carnal Christians. So I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. They're saved, but they're carnal. The word carnal basically means fleshly. They are fleshly Christians. And then thirdly, there is the spiritual Christian. Now, I thank God for the spirit-filled, victorious believer. It is that spirit-filled, victorious believer that is the thrust of your church. Now, I thank God for a lot of people in the church, the open door. You're here. You're faithful. You serve. You love the Lord. You tithe. People come here and visit. And they look at our bulletin and they see that last week's giving was, $50,000 or $40,000. And I've had people stop me in the hallway and they'll say, this is my first time here. I say, well, we're glad to have you here. And they'll look, open that bulletin and say, is this real? And I say, well, what do you mean, is this real? What did the church really give $56,000 last week? They did. Did somebody die and leave the church all this money? No, our folks tithe. And tithe, what's that? And there, you'd be surprised the number of people who have no clue even what a tithe is. And they're just absolutely blown away by the giving of our people. But listen, you folks, you've come to church and you've grown and you've learned and you know the Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. And so you know that every service we take an offering and you give. And it's a spiritual minded person who does that. Thank God for that. We have soul winning visitation. Folks go out. We have a youth visitation. Those spiritual teenagers will go out and knock on doors and invite folks to the Lord. It's just a spiritually minded individual who does the work of the ministry. And thank God for the spiritual Christians in the church. All right, so three kinds of people in every church. We've got the natural man, we've got the carnal man, and we've got the spiritual man. All right, now watch. You remember, let's go back now to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the children of Israel and God bringing them in the book of Exodus out of Egypt and into the wilderness and from the wilderness into the land of Canaan. All right, now think about this, folks. Egypt is always a picture of the world, is it not? Egypt is always a picture of the unsaved natural man. Back in Egypt, how did they get out? Do you remember? They got out of Egypt through the blood. Remember that? And that's how anybody gets out of their natural condition. You must come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here you've got Egypt, a picture of the world and a picture of the unsaved man. And God told him, you take the blood and you sprinkle it on the doorpost and on the side post. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so they were in Egypt. That's a picture of the natural man. Now, let me just say this. God brought them out of Egypt with the intent of taking them to the land of Canaan, right? Yes. Nod your heads. Do you see that? Yes. That was the whole idea for bringing them out of Egypt. to take them into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. But wait a minute. When they came out of Canaan, or out of Egypt, before they could get to Canaan, they had to go through the wilderness. You cannot get from Egypt to Canaan without going through the wilderness. Now, if Egypt is a picture of the natural man, then the wilderness is a picture of the carnal man, and then Canaan is the picture of the victorious man, the victorious believer. You see, when they got over here into Canaan, it was God who fought their battles for them. It was God who gave them the victory. It was God who delivered them from their enemies. You remember, it was God who knocked down the walls of Jericho. It was God that made the sun stand still so that they could finish the job. It was God that delivered and battled for them. You see the difference? And over here in the wilderness, what was it? 40 years of constant struggle. Man, they battled their flesh. They battled everything over there in that wilderness. And you'll remember, this whole generation that came out of Egypt, they never even made it to the land of Canaan, except for two of them, Joshua and Caleb. They all died in the wilderness. They never even made it to the land of Canaan. I'm telling you, folks, there's a parallel, there's a picture there. And you see, the will of God for every person is to get you out of Egypt and to get you into Canaan, to come from the natural state to the spiritual state. God wants you close to Him. And He wants you spiritually minded. He wants you to pray and fellowship and grow and live victoriously like they did in Canaan. He doesn't want you in slavery like they were in Egypt. He doesn't want you to be a slave to sin. He doesn't want you carnal, warring with your flesh and defeated and suffering defeat after defeat and living in rebellion and wandering aimlessly around without a purpose. Can you imagine 40 years and they just kept walking in circles? They would come into a place and then they would look around and they would see that they had been there before. Just wandering around aimlessly. And the point is, God does not want us to be carnal and spending all that time in the wilderness. But now, wait a minute. Here's the point you've got to get. Before you can get to Canaan from Egypt, you must go through the wilderness. You just must. Now, don't be shocked by this, but let me tell you something, folks. Every new Christian is carnal. Every new Christian is carnal. And you know that's true if you'll just think about it. The word carnal means having the nature of the flesh, as opposed to having the nature of the Spirit. And Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritually minded people, but as to fleshly minded people. Now, look at chapter 3 and verse 3. Just look carefully there for just a minute. Just look carefully at that third verse. For ye are yet carnal. Why, Paul? Well, for whereas there is among you, so in other words, in the Corinthian church, he said, among you is envying and strife and divisions. Now, hold your place right there and go over to Galatians chapter 5, just a couple of books over. Go to Galatians 5. And in Galatians 5, verse 19, Paul is talking about the works of the flesh. And he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Folks, do you see the same thing that Paul was accusing in chapter 3, envying, strife, and divisions? The same thing that Paul was accusing the Corinthian church of having in their lives, Paul said to the Galatian church that these same things are the works of the flesh. So, in other words, Paul was saying, you might be saved and you might be here in the wilderness, but you're acting like you're still over here in Egypt. You're still acting like you're living in Egypt. And he says, we don't want that. We want you over here where you're spiritually minded, not over there where you are fleshly minded. All right? So that's the idea behind that word. He said, you're carnal. Now, listen, folks. Listen carefully. A Christian. My title tonight is Keeping Happy in a Church. Now, listen to me. Here's my thesis. Right here it is. I'm just going to say this, and we're going to go eat pie. Now, y'all like that just a little too much. All right, ready? Here it is. A Christian is not going to be happy in the Lord until that Christian stops acting like he's still in Egypt and starts to progress through the wilderness one day to enter into Canaan. You're just not going to be happy over here in the wilderness. You're just not. You're just not. This is why you'll go home and you'll say, you know, I think we just ought to go somewhere else to church. Yeah. Really? Oh, why is that? Well, I just think we ought to go somewhere else. Are you not getting fed here? You know, it's funny. There's an awful lot of people that are getting fed here. Why aren't you? Isn't that strange? I just think that's amazing. An awful lot of folks getting fed here, except for you. I don't understand that. I mean, folks, listen, that's why you're not happy. That's why you're not going to be happy until you get out of the wilderness and get rid of that old fleshly nature that is driving your machine and get over into Canaan where the victories are. Now, let me give you 2 points. Number one, all new Christians have to go through the wilderness before they get to Canaan. You just have to. You just have to. You have got to grow as a Christian. You don't get saved and then put a Bible under your pillow and it absorb into your head through the night and you wake up a spiritual believer. It just does not work that way. You got to grow. You got to read your Bible. You got to be in church and daily yielding your life to the Lord and learn to pray and have the power of God in your life. I would like to think that I am more yielded to the Lord now than I was when I first got saved. I mean, I would like to think that. I remember, I think I confessed this to you a couple of weeks ago, but right after I got saved, a ball game wasn't going like I wanted it to go that I was playing in, and I let an oath out. I mean, I cussed to a fly wouldn't light on the baseball diamond. And after I finished cussing, I thought to myself, whoa, wait a minute, where did that come from? Well, I tell you where it came from. I learned it when I was over here in Egypt. And I got over here in the wilderness. I was saved, but I realized, whoa, wait a minute, the devil's trying to drag me back into Egypt again. You see how it works? Don't go back there. I mean, all new Christians, you got to get through the wilderness. You see, folks, Jesus wants you to grow and to learn. I mean, you got to learn the Christian life. You got to learn to walk with God. You got to learn how to pray and learn how to resist temptation. And you got to learn to fellowship with Him. And you got to learn where to get your power from the Lord. And as you do, then Christ becomes the catalyst. He becomes the key to certain areas of your life, and you soon find yourself more spiritually minded than you were fleshly minded. You're growing and maturing, and then you wake up one day and you're in victory land. Amen. That's the Christian life, folks. But so many people spend so much time in the wilderness. And this is the reason for prayer. This is the reason for church. This is the reason for personal Bible study and soul winning and all the things that we encourage you to do. All these things lead you through the carnality of the wilderness to the victory that is found in the land of Canaan. Number two. In the wilderness, we know what Egypt is like. All right? In the wilderness, when we come out of Egypt into the wilderness, in other words, when we get saved, listen to me now. You got this? See the picture? In the wilderness, we know what Egypt is like. We just came out of there. You with me? We just came out of there. We know what Egypt is like. But watch. We don't yet know what Canaan is like. Oh, we know what Egypt is like. We just came from there. But we don't yet know what Canaan is like. We've never been to Canaan land just yet. But we did just come out of Egypt. So what we must do, we must keep pressing towards Canaan if you're going to be happy. Go back to the book of Numbers for just a minute. Numbers chapter 11. Let me show you this. Numbers 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Numbers. Mercy, come on, folks. Y'all make me nervous up here. If you don't have it yet, just look intelligently at whatever page you might happen to be on, all right? Look at verse 1. It says, watch this now. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We, what's the next word? We remember. Uh-oh. What do you remember, boys? Watch. We remember. Now, where are they? Where are they? Oh, yeah, they're in the wilderness. They just came out of Egypt a couple of months ago. They just came out. And now they're over here in the wilderness, and they start griping and complaining. Are you listening? Why, that pastor, well, he didn't even shake my hand. Well, that pastor, he didn't even come over to my section. Hello? There's only one of me. I tell you what, why don't you come run me down and shake my hand? How about that? I'll shake your hand and give you a hug. How about that? We remember the fish which we did eat in where? Oh, you know what, folks? The minute you stop progressing towards Canaan, that's when the devil comes and gets you remembering what life was like back in Egypt. And you'll start lusting for what was back there. We remember the fish that we had. They were out in the wilderness. All they had was manna. God was dropping manna out of heaven on them. And they griped about it. They got tired of eating the same old thing. They should be on a heart diet. If they want to get on a heart diet, that'll get you griping. You understand that, folks? What was the problem? The problem was they stopped marching. And when they stopped marching, they remembered Egypt. Folks, when you stop pressing forward, you're going to drift back into Egypt. It never fails. It never fails. Man, you're out there, you get out of Egypt and you're marching through, and all of a sudden in the wilderness, man, it gets tough over here, doesn't it? It gets tough. And then the devil comes up and says, "You having a hard time?" "Yes, I am." "Are you struggling?" "You have no idea." "Are you hungry?" "Yeah, I'm hungry." "Boy, remember them fish you used to eat back in Egypt? You remember those leeks and those cucumbers that you used to eat back there? Remember that salad you used to eat back there? You remember that?" "Oh, man, I sure do." "What? Well, come on, let's go back and get some more." And the next thing you know, there you are. Manna, that preacher, that Chris Carabel. And it just goes on and on and on. What did I do? Wake him up? Did I wake him up? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You with me on that, folks? That's exactly what happens. All right, let me illustrate. People don't do this much anymore, but they used to do it. I remember when our family used to do this. We would come home from church, and Mom would look over at Dad and say, "You know, after we eat, let's take a drive." You remember when folks used to do that? We don't do that anymore, but let's take a drive. All right, so let's suppose you're going to take a drive. All right, so you get in the car. You go out and stick a key in the car and start the car up. You get about 5-10 miles down the road, driving out in the country, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're up in the Catoctin Mountains up there, driving around looking at the leaves, and beautiful Sunday afternoon, you're out there driving around looking at the leaves, and all of a sudden you hear, pow, thump, 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 tire's flat. You got a flat tire. So you pull off the side of the road, and then you go around, and you ever try to find a spare tire in your car? Why do they hide those things? You ever notice that they hide them? It's like they don't want you to get in the spare tire. And then, you know, the spare tire, you know, it's not really a tire anymore. It's just this little bubble. It's a donut. That's what they call it, a donut. It looks like a black donut. I mean, it's a little tiny thing. And they got them many a time. They're anchored down. I mean, it takes an impact driver to get them loose. And so you take the lug wrench and you put it down over top. You're trying to get it in. Boom, and it slips off, rips the skin off your knuckles. And because you're on blood thinners, you're bleeding to death. The blood is just pouring out of your hand. You got your hand all wrapped up and your wife walks over, puts lug wrench on it, pops it right loose. Then you get the tire out, and it takes a PhD in electrical engineering to figure out how to use a jack. So you get the jack under the car, finally get it popped, jacked up, get the lug nuts off of it, put the tire on, lower it, and it's flat. So now you got to call a wrecker. You call the wrecker, they come out, they put air in your tire for you, and then you get in the car, you go to start, and the battery's dead. And about that time, your wife looks over and says, "You know, why don't we just go home? Why don't we just go home?" In other words, you don't want to take the drive anymore. You don't want to go to Canaan anymore. You got weary in well-doing. You got discouraged in the trip. You see what happened? And folks, that's exactly what happens to a lot of Christians. Let me tell you something. You come out of Egypt, the devil is standing over here in the wilderness with a ball bat in his hand waiting on you. And as soon as you get over here, he starts beating you with that ball bat. And the next thing you know, you're looking back over your shoulder wanting to go back to Egypt. And I just want to stand here tonight and tell you, there's nothing over there that you need. Not a thing. Stay away from it. It will destroy your home. It will destroy your job. It'll destroy your physical body, it will just stay out of there. Nothing over there that you want. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Well, that's my final thought. How are you going to stay happy? How are you going to stay happy? Well, I tell you what, you got to keep pressing. Look here, turn over to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Look at 3:13. Look at what he says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Watch now. Forgetting those things which are behind. In other words, forgetting Egypt. Forgetting Egypt and reaching forth to those things which are before. That's Canaan. Forgetting Egypt and reaching to Canaan, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So how do you stay happy? I'll tell you how you do it. Here's how you do it. Here's my job. My job is to feed you. My job is to inspire you. My job is to challenge you. My job is to do my best to lead you to Canaan. Church is a place where God's man leads God's people to Canaan. All right? We do it in Sunday school. We do it through the ministries that these men all head up. We do it through the pulpit here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We do it through all the ministries that we have. Our job, my job, is to teach you so that you can practice serving the Lord during the week. That will keep you happy. You got to get out of Egypt and press on and keep moving. Don't stop. Don't look back. Nothing back there for you. And just keep moving on to the land of Canaan. And what's your job? Your job is to stay faithful. I mean, you ought to sit here and say, you know, I'm not real sure I know how to get there, but Pastor does, so I'm going to listen to him, and so he can help me get to Canaan. That ought to be what your job is. Instead of saying, that pastor, he drives me nuts. He's always pick. Read your Bible. Instead of sitting there letting the devil tell you to hate me because I tell you to do something that's good for you, what you ought to do is listen. Listen. Be faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, missions conference. I mean, just be here. Just be here. Well, that preacher, he just wants a big church. Nope. No, I can assure you that's not the case. I can assure you that's not the case. I pray and I seek God through the week. I study, I prepare so I can stand here and lead you through the wilderness into Canaan. My desire for you is to be here so you can hear what God has called me into the ministry to say. Not thinking of my interest, thinking of yours. Thinking of yours. And folks, once you get to Canaan, once you get spiritual as opposed to carnal, where once you get to the place where there's victories in your life, where you have power with God, where you get answers to prayer in your life, where the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in your life, where the fullness of the Spirit is seen in your soul winning, where you have an understanding of spiritual things, then you'll be ready to know how to enjoy the salvation that God has given you. And it's just that simple. And that's how you stay happy in the church. That's how you stay happy right there.